like the rest of us, if we could, to take our Bibles and to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. This opportunity this morning, Lord, that we have to open its pages. Every day when we do, Lord, whether it's in our personal quiet time, Bible study with others, or here on Sunday morning, it's a privilege. Because, Lord, it is through your word that you speak. You help us to grow and become the people of God that you desire us to be. So I pray this morning as we look at your word that you would strengthen us for this day, for this next week, for this life that we live here on this earth. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I read a little story about a barber minister that were walking through the streets of their city in a particularly, you could call it a swamp in the city. And the barber, who was an atheist, remarked, "This is why I can't believe in a God of love. If he's as kind and as loving as they say, why does he permit poverty, disease, squalor? How can he allow these poor people to be addicted to drugs and other character-destroying habits?" The minister was silent until they met a man who was especially unkempt. He was filthy. He smelled of urine. His hair hung down his back, and he had at least an inch of stubble covering his face. The preacher gave this response. He says, "You can't be a very good barber, or you wouldn't permit this man to live like this in this community without a shave and a haircut." The atheist answered him indignantly, "Why blame me for the man's condition? I can't help that he's like that. He's never given me a chance. If he would only come to my shop, I could fix him up, make him look like a proper gentleman." The minister gave the barber a very penetrating look, and he said, "Then don't blame God for allowing these people to continue in their evil way, when he is constantly inviting them to come to him to be saved. The reason they are slaves to sin and evil habits is that they refuse to accept the one who died to save and deliver them." Barber got the minister. And what the barber did not understand, and what many in our world fail to comprehend, is what God's word says about how he has resolved the problem of sin through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, in understanding and accepting Jesus' work on the cross, all other problems are resolved. The problems of this world that we face today, the things that we see in society, are all a result of sin. And God has resolved that problem through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his cross. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul reveals how God has done it. He says, "I give thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sin." In verse 12, Paul gives thanks to God the Father for enabling or qualifying believers to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. God has made us competent to share in the kingdom treasures that belong to all believers. In short, we as believers were unfit in and of ourselves But God has fitted us to share in the inheritance of His holy people. How? By dealing with our sin. This morning from these verses, we want to consider four saving acts in which God has enabled, in which He has qualified every follower of Jesus to share in the inheritance of the saints by resolving the problem of sin in our life. The first saving act by which He has enabled and qualified us is that He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. God has rescued us from danger. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been delivered from the authority of darkness. We could never rescue ourselves. We could never rescue ourselves from the guilt and the penalty of sin. But Jesus can, and Jesus does. Before Jesus Christ, you and I were in danger of spending eternity apart from God. Before Jesus Christ, the sword of God's judgment was hanging over our heads. Before Jesus, we were sinners without hope, destined to be in bondage for all eternity. And that's because before Jesus, you and I lived in darkness. We lived in a place of spiritual gloom and doom. And in the Word of God, the darkness speaks of the miserable, horrible state of being held captive by Satan. We lived under the rule and under the authority of Satan. Darkness is a symbol. It's a symbol of ignorance and falsehood and sin. You see, before Jesus Christ, sin had control over us. Literally, sin was our master. This darkness not only implies the absence of light, but it also implies opposition to the light. It's not only a condition of being without God, but it also is one of being against God. Consequently, you and I, who have by faith entrusted our lives to Jesus Christ, have been rescued. We have been rescued from a rebel kingdom. We have been rescued from a kingdom that was opposed to God. God has rescued us. He has liberated us from the power, the dominion, the authority, and the tyranny of darkness. Remember how Israel was delivered from their bondage in Egypt? A bondage that they suffered under for many years? Well, that's a picture of how God has delivered us from the bondage of sin. How He has delivered each individual who has by faith placed their trust in Jesus Christ. Last week in New Mexico, maybe you saw the story in the news. The FBI raided a compound in which 12 children were being held in captivity by a group of Islamic extremists. They were being raised in squalid conditions. They were being trained to carry out terrorist attacks, some to carry out terrorist attacks in local schools. They were held in captivity against their will. Those children were rescued from the darkness they were living in. They were rescued from the hands of evil men and women who were controlling their lives and holding them captive. To be rescued shows us that we are free from sin's hold on us. Sin no longer has control of us, for we have been rescued. Because of Jesus Christ, those of us who have entrusted our lives to Him are no longer in danger. Remember that. As a believer this morning, you have been rescued and you are no longer in danger. The second saving act by which God has enabled and qualified us is that He has transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That the Greek word for transferred gives the idea of one being translated or better yet, transported. The word was used to describe the deportation of a population from one country to another. If you know your Bible, you'll remember that history records how Nebuchadnezzar transported the Jews from Jerusalem to Babylon over a 900-mile journey. Jesus Christ has transported us from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness, from bondage to freedom. Jesus did not rescue us from the bondage of darkness to only have us wander aimlessly in this world. He moved us into His own kingdom of light. And He has made us victors over Satan's kingdom of darkness. Ruly rulers like Nebuchadnezzar transported defeated people. But Jesus transports winners. He transports those He has made victorious over sin. If you claim to know Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you've by faith entrusted your life to Him, you're a winner. Jesus has made you a winner over sin. You're victorious over it. The phrase of His dear Son, or the Son He loves, is a very important phrase. We know that at His baptism and also on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father declared that Jesus was His beloved Son. And that's really important for us to know. It reminds us of two things. First of all, it reminds us of the price the Father paid. The price the Father paid when He gave His Son. The Father gave up His dearest and most cherished possession. He gave all that He had so that we might possess all that He created us to enjoy. Without Jesus' death on the cross, that could never happen. It also reminds us that His kingdom is a kingdom of love as well as a kingdom of light, which is in direct contrast to the kingdom of darkness that we've been brought out of. The experience of Israel in the Old Testament is an illustration of this spiritual experience in our life. For God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, and He transferred them or transported them into the promised land of their inheritance. God brings us out of the darkness of sin, and He transports us into His kingdom. He rescues us, He transports us, and the third saving act by which God has enabled us and qualified us is that He has redeemed us. He has purchased our freedom. The word redemption used here by Paul means to release a prisoner of the payment of a ransom. Now, Paul is not suggesting here that Jesus opened His wallet up one day and paid a ransom to Satan in order to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness. But by His death and by His resurrection, Jesus met the holy demands of God's law. The ransom has been paid through the death of Christ on the cross for our sins. And through faith in Him, we have been set free. The debt our sin incurred has been paid through the sacrifice of Christ. I read about a pastor in Boston. One morning as he was walking through the church, he noticed that there was this young man in the church, and he was carrying this rusty old cage with some very nervous birds fluttering inside. And the pastor asked him, he said, "Son, where'd you get those birds?" And the young man said, "I trapped them." "What are you going to do with them?" "Well, I guess I'm going to play with them for a little while, and maybe I'll feed them to the old cat that we have." Well, the pastor offered to buy the birds, but the boy said to him, "Mister, you don't want them. They're just little old wild birds. They can't even sing very well." Well, the pastor replied, I'll give you $2 for the cage and the bird." "Okay, it's a deal, but you're making a big mistake." The exchange was made and the boy went away whistling, happy with the $2 he had in his pocket. The pastor walked around to the back of the church property, opened the door of the small cage, and set free those struggling creatures to soar into the blue sky. The next Sunday, he took the empty cage into the pulpit, and he told the story to his congregation of what happened with those little wild birds to illustrate Christ's coming to seek and save those who, like the birds, were destined for destruction. The difference was that Christ had to purchase our freedom with his own life. So we have been rescued, transported, and redeemed. One other, the fourth saving act by which God has enabled and qualified us is that he has forgiven us. Redemption and forgiveness go together. The word translated forgiveness here means to send away or to cancel a debt. Christ has not only set us free and transferred us into a new kingdom, but he has canceled every debt that sin incurred so that we cannot be enslaved again. Did you hear that? Listen to that once again. Christ has not only set us free and transferred us into a new kingdom, but he has canceled every debt that sin incurred so that we cannot be enslaved again. Satan cannot find anything in the files to incriminate us. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to try, because he will. That's just who he is. But God's forgiveness is an act of his grace, his unmerited favor. None of us deserves to be forgiven, nor can we in any way earn forgiveness or pay the debt of our sin in order to be made right with God. Knowing that we are forgiven makes it possible for us to enjoy fellowship with God. Knowing we are forgiven enables us to also enjoy his grace and seek to do his will. Forgiveness is not an excuse for sin. Rather, it's an encouragement for obedience. And because we've been forgiven, guess what? We can forgive others. Have you noticed, as we've been talking this morning, that Jesus Christ is preeminent in salvation? That no other person could rescue us, redeem us, forgive us, or transport us out of the kingdom of darkness and into God's kingdom and wholly do it by grace. The phrase "through his blood" reminds us of the high cost of our salvation. You think back on Israel when they were in Egypt. Moses and Israel were delivered from Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb that was wiped across the top and the sides of the door. The angel of death passed over those homes where that blood was wiped over those doors, those sides. This was a symbol of what Jesus would do later for us on the cross. Jesus had to shed his blood for us in order to deliver us from sin and the dominion of darkness. My friends, because of Christ, our Father in heaven has enabled us and he has qualified us to be brought into the kingdom of the Son he loved. Today, if you're a follower of Jesus, there should be nothing holding you in the gloom and doom of the dominion of darkness. Nothing should be holding any of us in the dominion of gloom and darkness and doom. However, what happens is that some Christians fall prey to the lies and the deception of our adversary. A number of years ago, there was a show on television. Maybe you remember it. It was called Unmasked. You ever see that? It was a show that revealed the deception behind psychics, faith healers, card sharks, and magicians, and the like. It revealed the tricks of the trade, okay, how they were able to deceive the masses. If you as a believer this morning commit yourself to reading and studying God's Word, our Lord will unmask the deception behind our adversary's lie. He will reveal the tricks and schemes that Satan uses to keep believers in bondage. If you know who you are in Christ. The famous psychiatrist Carl Menninger, long been dead, he said that if he could convince the patients in his psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. This is a world-renowned psychiatrist. I don't know if he had faith in God or anything, but he knew what people were made up of and that they were living in the guilt of their own sin and their own past. Well, that past for us in Christ is gone. Imagine 75% of them could walk away the next day. So often, like Menninger's patients, we do not take God at His word. We do not take Him at His word. Believe it or not, I encounter Christians who don't know what God's Word says about them. Or they don't go to God's Word for answers to life's difficulties and life's problems, because life is full of difficulties and problems. But we don't go to God's Word. We'll go to somebody else. We'll go to another person. We'll go to a friend. We don't go to God, the one who has all the answers. We need to go to Him. My encouragement to every believer this morning is to take God at His word and accept for yourself today who His word says you are in Christ Jesus. Accept that for today. Accept that you have been rescued from the enemy's bondage. Accept that you have been transported into the kingdom of God. Accept that through the price of Jesus' life, your redemption was paid for, and that your sins are forgiven. Accept that fact today of who you are in Him. And for those who have yet to, in faith, entrust their lives to Christ, today the offer is open to you. You too can be rescued. You too can be transported. You too can be redeemed and forgiven of your sin. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for that wonderful, beautiful cross. Lord, it was an instrument of torture. It was something that was ugly and hideous. It was reserved for those who were the vilest of criminals. Let yet, Lord, You died on that cross for us. Lord, as I think of that cross, I think of it as something beautiful because, Lord, because of that cross, all of our lives can be changed. And I thank You for that today. I thank You for the persons that You have made us to be in Christ Jesus. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that we would quit falling into the traps of our enemy, the adversary, the prince of darkness. That we quit listening to his lies about us, Lord. For he desires to lie about us and who we are. But help us, Lord, to listen to the truth. Help us to read your word. Help us to, in faith, accept who we are in Jesus Christ. I thank you and praise you for the wonderful results that will transpire. Lord, we pray all these things in your mighty name.